This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the show where we bring you the stories behind the stories that matter in your life. We'll tell you something maybe you didn't know, hear from the experts, authors, and others, and hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. But in every case, we call it As We See It. On today's show, Illinois approved medical marijuana for children with certain ailments. We'll get reaction. If you are lost in a digital dating world, Dr. Love is here to help. And what happens when your exotic pet takes a liking to you? I mean, really takes a liking. We'll straighten that out for you. Let's meet the friends. Jennifer Bjorklund is laid up for one more day in Wisconsin. And Jay Capadonia has the day off. So it's me and Chris Martin today, Chris.
The friend. Let's meet the friend.
Yes, exactly. What are you working on?
Couple of things I'm working on, Phil. Last month was officially recorded as the hottest June in world history, and the world's largest rubber duck was due into the L.A. harbor in about a month, but a new development may delay its arrival.
My goodness. All right, so we're going to get started, and it's this is a first. This is the reason why you have friends, because friends can back up friends when the friends aren't there to back you up. Is that how that works?
That is how it works. I got your back, Phil.
All right. Good to know. All right. What do you say we get started then? And where do we start? At the hottest June, huh?
Yeah, the hottest June. I always find these stories interesting because there's always so much talk about global warming, but it seems to have calmed down a little bit. But the national...
The talk has.
The talk has calmed down a little bit. Yep. That's right. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, otherwise known as NOAA, has stated that we have officially broken the record in May and now again in June for the world's hottest months, and that'd be the world's hottest record for that month. So it's the world's hottest June.
Right.
We beat the 2010 record by 1/20th of a degree.
1/20th?
Yeah, something to be afraid of, huh?
That'll make you itch.
I know, right? The oceans broke a record also. They're clocking in at 62.7 degrees as a whole, our oceans are. Now, this has never been that high ever. It's never been recorded at that high of a
temperature. And that'll affect the atmospheric heat as well.
That's what they say it's driven by. The record that we set in May and June is mainly driven by the ocean's increased heat. So now the U.S. actually doesn't fall within this trend. The U.S. only recorded our 33rd hottest June in history. So... the rest of the world in some other parts are heating up a little bit, and even Antarctica wasn't their hottest either. So.
Look, we're not scientists here, but you know that when the water's warmer, it changes the migrating patterns of the sea animals, right?
Sure.
They move around looking for food in different places at different times because of the temperature of the water.
It makes sense. As long as they don't start going belly up, that's what I'm concerned about, right?
Right. Yes, that could be a problem. It certainly could be a problem. And but what if you have a big, giant floating object that you can't find?
Well, then you're in trouble, and they are in trouble in China right now. They're frantically searching for a giant rubber duck, and this is a rubber duck that's actually due here in the L.A. Harbor. We talked about it a few weeks ago.
Oh, this is for the Tall Ship Festival that's happening in August.
It is.
Right at the new L.A. Harbor. What do they call the place down the way that they just built the new harbor?
The new House of Awesome.
We need to figure out what that is, but it's right next to the USS Iowa. The battleship Iowa, and beyond that, a little farther west of there is the new harbor that they built, and a little farther west of there is our studio where we do this afternoon program.
That's
and
right.
So right out here in the water, the tall ships and this enormous 9-story duck. What has happened to it, Chris?
It's disappeared, Phil.
How does a 9-story duck disappear?
It has to be mismanagement, but it's a 59-foot-tall inflatable duck. It weighs 2,000 pounds. This duck's been touring the world since 2007, and then they brought it over to China, over to the Nanming River, for an event they're having in Victoria Harbor. Now, this area's been recently hit by some flooding, and they go to bed at night, and they wake up in the morning, and the duck was swept away in the rising waters, and now they can't find it.
Well, again, it's 9 stories tall.
Yeah, well, 6 stories tall.
6 stories?
6 stories tall, yeah.
Still, 2,000 pounds. That's 600 feet.
No. It's a massive
duck.
No,
it's not. It's 60 feet.
60 feet, yeah.
60 feet tall.
60 feet tall. And the organizers can't believe it because this thing sits on a 10-ton floating platform. It was anchored to the bottom of the river. And sure enough, some of the anchors must have broken or they were improperly tied and the water rose a little bit. This thing floated down the river. Right now, no sign of the missing duck so far. I don't know how you miss it.
Rivers float all the way or they stream all the way out to the ocean.
Right. They're going to outlet somewhere.
So this duck could be out in the South China Sea somewhere.
Right, or it could still be floating along the riverbanks. And imagine that. You're just a small farming family on the riverbank.
Yes.
60-foot, you know, yellow and orange rubber duck goes floating by.
Get the rifle, Edith.
Something's wrong.
There's dinner coming down the river.
Well, and there is some suspicion about whether or not somebody nabbed it. But again, it seems like it'd be very difficult
to steal
that.
Talk about Peking duck.
There you go.
Well, imagine you decide that you want to join the National Guard, and you get assigned to a base. You get signed to Joint Base Elmendorf Richardson in Alaska with the Alaska Army National Guard. This is exactly what a soldier did. He enlisted, and I am sorry to say, he became the second enlisted person at that National Guard armory there, mauled by a bear.
Oh, geez.
In this case, he was participating in a training exercise at the base. The soldier's name has not been released. He did not die. He's listed in a stable condition, but the soldier was participating in a navigation exercise that involves giving soldiers compasses and maps and then times them as they make their way alone to locations on this course out there where there have been two maulings in 2 months. Jessica Gamboa, a soldier's wife, was badly mauled back in May as she was jogging on a trail in that very base.
She survived as well, though.
She survived. But then again, these bears are not fans.
Are they polar bears?
You know what? No, I don't think so. I think in this case, they're probably brown bears.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Either way, a bear mauls you. It doesn't matter what color it is, right?
Right. Yeah. That's rough trade right there. It's not what you sign up for when you try to get into the
Absolutely not. And here's not what you sign up for when you go to see the gynecologist. Do you ever wonder, ladies, if your gynecologist is a creeper? Well, Johns Hopkins, one of the world's most prestigious medical institutions, has agreed to pay $190 million to settle a claim by thousands of women against one gynecologist who used a tiny camera to surreptitiously make hundreds of videos and photos of patients.
What a perv.
While they're awake.
Huh. $190 million doesn't seem like enough.
He had a little pen around his neck.
Yeah.
Little tiny pen, and it was a camera.
Well, that's more discreet than strapping the GoPro around the forehead.
Exactly. I think you might suspect something if that was happening. What's that on your head, doctor?
Doc, what are you doing?
Yeah, anyway. So this gynecologist is in big trouble. He was fired last year after a coworker came forward with her suspicions. He was forced to turn over the pen-like camera that he'd used, and days later, and this is the end of the story for him, he committed suicide after turning that in.
There you go.
But the hospital, Johns Hopkins, is paying out $190 million to about 1,000 or so patients. No, 8,500 women. 8,500 women.
Yeah, that's disturbing behavior.
It is.
I wonder what he was doing with it. Maybe he was just keeping it to himself. You think that would make it out to the... to the world, you know, in the technological world we live in. But.
And these days, you can hide a camera in almost anything.
So it just
gives you pause. And I'm sorry, ladies, that I had to bring that story up, but there you go. I'm sure your gynecologist is completely above board. This weekend, actually yesterday, it was made aware, we were made aware of it, but it may have happened on Friday. The state of Illinois just approved medical marijuana for children. Now, this is for children who suffer from a particular ailment, and we'll speak with a doctor whose daughter is dealing with this very ailment, but she's not in Illinois. She's here in California, and you'll hear his reaction to this law and what may be coming to California as well. Next, here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Welcome back to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends here on KFWB News Talk 980. We're here every weekday afternoon at 2 with the complete crew, generally speaking. Today, not so much. Jennifer Bjorklund has the day off. She's still in Wisconsin. Expected to be back tomorrow. We do also expect to have Jay Campadonia in the studio. They're two of the friends, but we have Chris Martin today. So it's more or less the Phil and Chris show.
I feel like Jen was held up by all that good bratwurst and cheese.
That could weigh down the plane. They might have had to cut some of the passengers off.
You get over there, and then it's hard to get
away
from
the list. A little later in the program, Dr. Love will be here. And also, what do you do when an exotic parrot wants to mate with your toupee and other problems with exotic pets? But we have a serious story now. As you know, medical marijuana laws are being approved across the country. And California, we have medicinal marijuana approved, various types of it for various reasons. And in Illinois, on yesterday, the governor, Pat Quinn, there signed a law that allows children and adults with epilepsy and who suffer seizures to soon be allowed to use marijuana to ease their symptoms. And this is a big deal, and it's something we've actually discussed on this program some time ago with the founder of MalloriesHope.org. We'll find out more about that in a moment. Dr. Thomas Minahan joins us live now. And Dr. Minahan, thanks again for coming on the program. You've been a proponent of this sort of thing for some time, haven't you?
Phil and Chris, thank you for having me. Yeah, just under a year now. I've been a huge proponent.
Have you had any input whatsoever in the law in Illinois?
No, none at all.
But you're familiar with it?
I do know the bill. I think it was 2636, which was approved yesterday. Started out in January going through their committees, and they pulled it off in 6 months.
Explain why this is, and perhaps you could use the experience with your daughter here just to get our audience, who perhaps doesn't know your story, explain why this is important.
Well, there's kids with epilepsy, and there's a small niche of kids with epilepsy. They're intractable. They've tried not one or two, but like in my daughter's case, about a dozen drugs that didn't work. We looked at surgery with my daughter. Imagine going in their kid's head before you try some benign medication. We looked at everything with my daughter, and kids in Illinois, too. There's 3 million people in the U.S. with epilepsy. About a third of those are intractable. In other words, nothing seems to make them seizure-free. So when nothing works, and in my daughter's case, nothing worked, and we were going to try a very toxic medication that had a side effect of death, so we actually looked at it. And here I am. A year ago, you'd ask me, I'd be like, it's a ruse for recreation, and I'd be laughing at this whole thing. But I'm a little different today.
Yeah. Well, when you were actually considering a possible side effect of death, then that means things must have gotten pretty scary at certain points. Can you recount for us any of those stories that brought you to that brink?
Well, a year ago, she was at swim lessons. Most of my daughter's seizures are at nighttime. But we watched her like a hawk at swim lessons, and she didn't come off the bottom. I'm like, is she goofing around? Or I dive in. I pull her off the bottom, and she sucked in quite a bit of water. I almost lost my daughter to a drowning about a year ago. We've tried about every drug and drug combination, and we really don't know in the world of epilepsy how bad it is when a kid takes like three different medications at one time. There's no studies out there that are looking at these three, and then how about these four and stuff like that. So we were flying back to the East Coast, same hospital you were just talking about, Johns Hopkins. Phenomenal place, phenomenal. I think it's a great center. She seized five times on the way to that center, twice on the airplane. They didn't want us on the flight. And that's when the expert back there suggested this toxic medication. He mentioned cannabis, but I kind of laughed when he said it.
You weren't there yet.
Well, no. I mean,
intellectually.
When someone tells you cannabis, and I'm a conservative physician, very conservative physician, I think most people are going to think people smoke it because that's what's seen out there. At the Anaheim Convention Center recently, they had what they call a medical cannabis conference, Kush Fest. If you go online and look at this, it's hard to respect that as medicine. And so I just assumed people were smoking it. I'm thinking, am I going to have my 11-year-old smoke? And that was what really crossed my mind initially. I'm like, nah, I can't be. And I researched it, and actually, no, it's an oil, and she takes it 3 times a day. She was seizing 30 to 40 times a month. One night she seized 12 times. And last August, I remember driving to work one morning, and she had seized 6, 7, 8 times that night. And I actually said to God, if she were to seize the next time and to die, I'd almost be okay with it. It was just so bad. But so we looked at the marijuana. We had nothing to lose, and we started on this oil, and you're taking a chance with your kid. My kid's the guinea pig, and it's been phenomenal.
Yeah, so it
worked. Months she's had.
Yeah.
She seized once in the last almost 4 weeks.
And are there other benefits to this as well? Is she eating regular, keeping her food down, all of that?
Yeah, there are people talk about the munchies. In this chemical that she takes, it's very low THC. There is some in there. So if you do a drug screen on my 11-year-old, it's going to show positive for THC, which gets you high. But there's another chemical in there called cannabidiol, which is thought to have the anti-epilepsy properties. I'm not waiting 10 years for the studies to come out to prove that this is good for her. I'm doing it now. I don't have 10 years to wait. But the cannabidiol is thought to stop the seizures, but also give some other properties. We put her back in school about a week after starting the oil. It's the first time in about 3 years that we've had her back in school. And she has this alertness about it we haven't seen ever.
Dr. Minahan, Chris Martin has a question for you here.
Hey, doctor. I remember the first time we had you on, and you told some real heartfelt stories, and you got myself and a lot of us listeners interested in this adventure that you're on. And do you see, I'm wondering if you see this approval in Illinois as a catalyst, and I just said Illinois, but as a catalyst for other states jumping on board and using these cannabinoids for epileptic children, like maybe even California?
I would hope so. In California, there's a bill going through by Lou Correa out of Orange County, 1262, that's almost there. And I just heard there's some blocks by union stuff getting involved with this. But the bill makes it more legitimate, makes it more medicine. Recreation is a different animal. And I think that's the biggest block to most states in the country is the association that people go with. You're just trying to use this as a step to legalization. Now, that's a different animal you want to touch. But I think it is a catalyst. And if you get enough states in the union that will buy into this, maybe the federal government will. I've tried to talk to people from the House of Representatives, and then there's a guy actually out of Illinois I actually kind of know somewhat well. And the conversation we had is that for these conservative people, this is political suicide to vote yes on a bill for marijuana because the people just don't know that there is truly something there. Granted, a lot of people get high with it and they abuse it and stuff, and they say they have back pain. They don't. I get that. But there is some use here. There is something definitely in this plant.
So here in California, I mean, obviously you're treating your daughter, Mallory. Are you treating her legally above board, or do you have to kind of blur the lines a little bit? And as a doctor,
No, we do. I treat her legally. I went and got a card for her, shall we say, or a recommendation from a physician. This is where it's hard to take it seriously. The physician, and she's a functional 11-year-old kid. She gets it when someone says something. The guy dropped the F-bomb 4 times in front of us.
Wow.
How do you take a physician seriously? So we put her on a strain of oil, and it's called ACDC. Again, hard to take it seriously.
Yeah.
The oil shows up, and it shows up in a bottle, and you can't really smell it until you open it. But it showed up one time, and the envelope was so impregnated with the smell of weed, I really questioned the mindset of the people packaging my daughter's medicine. I mean, you really question this stuff. It has shown up, and it's mislabeled. One time, it said there was very little THC in it, less than 1 milligram per milliliter, but it was a ton of THC in it. The company apologized, but imagine if this was someone's heart medicine.
Yeah. And so this is where the call for standardization in the industry and regulations and all of that, perhaps that argument makes sense when you talk about this kind of a product.
You got it. The incidence of death in an epileptic is 20 times, spontaneous death is 20 times the average population. It is not normal for a dad to check on his 11-year-old in the morning to see if she's still alive.
Yeah.
My wife and I do that. It's not normal. But kids die in their sleep probably when they seize. This is huge. This is a life-saving medicine. And I'm a very pro-life guy, and for those who are pro-choice, don't hate me. I'm pro-life, and to me, this is a pro-life issue, and I've addressed it with Christian conservative groups. I've met with some people who will actually talk with me because of who I am, and that's what I think has to move this along. You need the Christian conservatives, or the right wing, shall we say, to buy into this.
Does California need its version of the law that was signed by Illinois Governor Pat Quinn yesterday?
No, in California, my understanding of the law is that this adds kids to the mix. Kids have been legal in California, and they are. It's just in California, the bill going through California now is trying just to make this thing show up like a medicine as best we can without. It's illegal on a federal level, but on a state level, it's just trying to make it legitimate, truly medicine. As in the words Lou Correia said, this is we got to make this real medicine.
Mallory'sHope.org, and we have a link on the links page at PhilHewlettAndFriends.com. Dr. Thomas Minahan, thank you very much for commenting on the law in Illinois and what's happening here in California, and continued good luck and success with your daughter, Mallory.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Thomas Minahan. Practices up in the Lake Arrowhead area, by the way, in case you're curious. Well, let's see. We're going to change gears just a little bit on the program here today. How can you make your relationship more passionate? Is this just a date, or have you found your soulmate? And how can you spot online fakes? You know there are a bunch of those. We have those questions and more. We'll answer them when we speak with Dr. Love. Next, right here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends on KFWB News Talk 980. You are listening to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends here on KFWB News Talk 980. I'm Phil Hewlett. Chris Martin is here today. The other friends will be back tomorrow. It's a busy day today, and during the break, I drew something for Chris. I'm going to, for those of you who catch up with our YouTube videos after the fact, I drew a little jar with coins in it, and Chris just tossed a coin in there. Do you know why, Chris?
You're quite the artist. Yeah, I know why.
Why did I do that?
Because I have a hard time speaking the English language.
No,
and there's,
no let's not go too far.
Because I said Illinois again.
Yeah.
Which, you know, they put an S on the end of it.
It's probably because it's supposed to be pronounced Illinois.
Oh, is that right? It's right. A French thing?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah. Either that or it's a Native American thing, but I'll double check that. I don't know. I just know that we pronounce it Illinois.
I'm blaming it on Monday. That's what I'm blaming.
Fair
it on.
Enough. Hey, doesn't it seem that in this day and age of social media, that even though it might be easier to connect with a ton of people, it is harder to have a meaningful, lasting, passionate love relationship? Would you say that's the case, Chris? Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Just for the sake of the program, you know, go along with the concept here. Now, who's going to help you through this modern jungle of love? How about Jamie Turndorf, PhD, better known as Dr. Love, and the doctor is in. Dr. Love, hello.
Hello. I feel.
What do you feel?
She sounds great.
Yeah, she does sound
for
great.
A second.
Dr. Love, if we can normalize your connection here, hopefully, we want to bring passion back to our relationships.
Where, do you hear me?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
If we want to bring passion back to our relationships, where do we start, Dr. Love?
Well, the first thing is don't buy stock in Viagra, because that's not the answer. The thing is, people have to understand, and this is a simple truth. I explain this in Kiss Your Fights Goodbye. Dr. Love's 10 Simple Steps to Cooling Conflict and Rekindling Your Relationship.
That's one of your books.
Yeah, that's my first Hay House book earlier this year. No matter how much you love somebody when you begin a relationship, love is not enough, because we are two separate individuals and we soon fall into conflict. And if we don't know how to manage and resolve these inevitable conflicts, the angry feelings that go along with unresolved conflict erode our love and passion. And unresolved conflict and anger is the number one killer of love and passion. It's a passion deflator.
Now, I want to bring up something that's kind of gone viral online this week, and today and yesterday, and it's a form of conflict resolution that I perhaps, well, I'm just going to guess that you think it's a bad form of conflict resolution. A married man decided that he would put together a spreadsheet and list all the excuses his wife gave over the past several days when he asked for sex and when she denied him that request. And he provided the spreadsheet to his wife.
Wait a minute. Giving her a spreadsheet is not going to get her to spread her legs. I'm just going to say.
All right. Fine. Now, that's as far as I'm going to let you go, Dr. Love. We're on the radio.
There you go.
I know you
it
know radio.
It ain't working. The thing is, what guys need to understand is there's something that I call relationship essential nutrients. When you feed each other these essential nutrients, that is how we get each other in the mood. So if a woman doesn't want to really give it up, it's because he's not feeding her what she needs outside the bed.
Oh, like what? How do you know what she needs?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question.
If she doesn't come right out and tell you.
Well, the thing is, she may not even know. So that's what Dr. Love is here to help you with. The relationship essential nutrients are different for men and for women. So let's just say what women need is what I call emotional providing. You know, the scope and the form of providing that women need has evolved. Because it used to be in the olden days, if a guy just brought home the bacon and made her and her offspring feel safe, that's all a woman needed. Fine. But now, nowadays, many women can earn what they need. They don't need a guy to provide financially. But what we do need is what I call the two S's, safety and security. This is a built-in, biologically programmed need. We need to feel you're with us for the long haul, you're interested in us, you're not going to take a hike on us, you're not going to leave us when a younger chippy comes along. So the way guys do the emotional providing and give us this safety and security feeling is by giving us emotional security. You listen, you understand, you pay attention when we talk. Listening is the greatest erogenous zone on a man's body from a woman's point of view is between his ears.
Oh, so asking for sex every day is not a form of paying attention and showing that that he wants her?
No. See, if you're doing a good job making her know that you care about her, not just what's between her legs, but what's in her heart, what's in her mind, what's in her soul, she feels heard and paid attention to, and that is the greatest aphrodisiac.
How do you define a soulmate, Dr. Love?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked me that question. You know, I'm actually I've written an article about that based upon my own soulmate love experience because I married a soulmate.
Oh.
My husband was with me and we were crazy for each other for 27 years until he died of a bee sting. And Hay House is publishing my love story, my soulmate experience with him. Our love affair is so powerful that he's still here in spirit form. And I tell the story in my next Hay House book called Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect. Well, that one is, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased. I can't keep my own book straight anymore.
Right. Well, by the way, we have your books, Kiss Your Fights Goodbye and Make Up, Don't Break Up.
And this book, Love Never Dies, is my soulmate story, where I show people how they can. Mm-hmm. Well, basically, I discovered relationships don't end in death. This became clear to me when he was with me from the minute he was stung by the bee and left his body.
That's so, that soulmate connection then, isn't
it? Yes. And so I show people how they can reconnect with loved ones in spirit and, if needed, make peace. Because that's the thread for me, how to make peace, my conflict resolution method.
Wow. How about that? Can't wait for that one to come out. By the way, I was going to say your books are in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com.
Can I ask a quick question about the soulmate thing?
Yeah, Chris, go ahead.
Dr. Love, I was told in the eighth grade, this may or may not be sound advice, but my eighth grade English teacher told me and the rest of the class, she said, you are compatible with thousands and thousands of people on this planet, just biologically, mentally, emotionally.
Yeah.
So don't get too hung up on the soulmate thing because you might cut yourself off from some great relationships and some good times.
It's funny because I say this, the article's going to be on the homepage of yourtango.com, and I say that the statistics say there are 10,000 people worldwide who are perfectly compatible with us, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're soulmates. Soulmates come to us in many forms. Some soulmates are just here to help us grow and learn a particular lesson. Some soulmates are going to be life partners who will remain with us through this lifetime and beyond, and they'll be our spirit guides when they leave their bodies. So we have all different kinds of soulmate experiences. And essentially, we're all put here for one purpose, to help each other love better, to overcome the blocks inside ourselves, to loving ourselves and others more fully. And as I explain in Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, one of the biggest obstacles to loving ourselves and others better are the old scars we drag from childhood. So oftentimes, if we don't really understand what those scars are, we end up pummeling each other and giving all the anger that we had toward our parents that we didn't work out to our partners, and then we end up just ruining our relationship.
This is also complicated, Dr. Love. You see, I thought we were just put here to reproduce.
Get laid. We're back to that again. The spreadsheet again.
Yeah. All right. One more thing, and then we're going to let you go. And I appreciate all the important information you're giving us. But so many people date online these days. Do you have a basic roadmap for that process?
Yeah. So the thing is, with dating online, you have to be really, really careful, because remember what Chris Rock said? When you're meeting a person, you're not meeting that person, you're meeting his representative. He said,
because people fake their profiles, don't they?
They fake everything. So what you want to do is get real as quickly as possible, meet in person, and find out, is this person who you think he or she is? Get real. Do not prolong long chats online or even phone calls. Make one quick call. If you like the vibe, get face to face. And beware of long distance kinds of experiences, because usually if somebody's seriously interested in a relationship, he or she is not going to connect you from Guatemala when you live in New Jersey, you know, because that's not likely that we're going to be able to form a bond. So people who tend to be serious tend to live right near you and they're looking in their area.
That's right. Well, Dr. Jamie Turndorf, Dr. Love, $2, Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, and Make Up, Don't Break Up. They're both in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Thanks for talking to us about the steps to a relationship and love and passion and soulmates and all that sort of thing. We give you a little bit of something on this program every day, a little different something.
Sure.
Every day of the week, it's a different program, right?
And I just realized I think you're one of my spirit guides, Phil.
Spirit guides?
Yeah. Which I think makes you a soulmate of mine.
Oh, well, that's nice to know. Just to keep the bees out of here, will you?
Right.
Hey, remember that viral video of a parrot that tried to mate with a zoologist's head? The video practically broke the internet when it came out. We have that video for you to view, by the way, on our show fun page at philhewlettandfriends.com. But that's one confused bird for sure. How do you get it back on the right road to parrot love? We're still on the love topic here. But other problems with your pets, exotic or otherwise, we speak with an animal trainer who flew to New Zealand to try to straighten that parrot out, that very parrot that was in the viral video. And we'll speak to that doctor next, right here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. So glad you tuned in to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends here on KFWB News Talk 980 every single day, weekday that is, from 2 to 3, and also online at philhewlettandfriends.com. You could listen to us on demand after the fact, download us, share us, stream us. It's all there, including our show fun page, where there is a video. I'm just going to play a little clip of it. I'll set it up for you. This is a zoologist out in the forest, and he encounters a rare exotic parrot who apparently has a need. He wants to mate with another parrot. So the zoologist is wearing a green shirt, and he's got hair in his head. And here, just give a little listen.
Let's see this thing.
Yeah. We're going to watch it here. I know it's radio, but here we go. Let's, and there we go.
Oh, he seems very amorous.
He's got his shot.
Oh, my gosh.
Those are,
he's getting a bit frisky.
Ow.
He's moving his wings.
Do you think it is he's actually attempting a sort of mating ritual? He is.
What it looks like.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why is the guy just letting him do it?
Because he's a zoologist. He's probably learning something. And anyway, this video went viral, and about 100 million views later, this doctor out here, an exotic pet trainer, decided to fly out to New Zealand to see if she could meet up with this bird and do something about it. And she joins us live now. Barbara Heidenreich is with us. She's a animal trainer, exotic animal trainer, behavior expert, author, lecturer. Barbara, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on.
You have 100 different websites. I can't keep track of all of them, but give me just the use all site. If they went to go to one place, where would people go?
The best place to go is Barbara's Fat, spelled with two F's because it stands for Barbara's Force-Free Animal Training.
Okay, we'll find out what that is in just a moment. Are those birds in the background chirping?
Well, yeah, I do happen to have a talking parrot back there. He sings a little James Brown and sings Happy Birthday, and I'm afraid it's hard to keep him quiet.
Oh, we got to hear it. Can we hear some James Brown?
No, maybe. If it happens, it's great. We'll just let it happen organically. But we want to know, okay, this parrot, particular parrot, what kind of parrot was it? The one that was humping the doctor's head and boxing his ears in the process.
Well, it's an extremely rare parrot. It's called a kakapo, and there's only 126 of them left in the wild, and they're found in these remote islands in New Zealand, and they're managed by the Department of Conservation.
And it's no wonder this parrot got confused, because there are barely any other parrots to mate with.
Well, this particular parrot has a very special story.
Oh, and I bet you're going to tell me.
I am. His name is Sirocco, and he was hand-raised because he had an illness when he was a chick. And right now, every chick is precious. So if one's in danger, they're going to do whatever they need to do to take care of him. And so because he was raised by people and by himself, there weren't any other chicks, he actually views people as his mate other than female kakapo.
All right. So you went out to New Zealand, and what was your goal?
Well, you see, the problem with Sirocco is because he loves humans so much, he was actually ambushing people on their way to the outhouse at night to try and mate with them.
Oh, no.
And he's pretty relentless. In fact, he gets very aggressive if he doesn't get to have his way.
And he can do some damage, I bet, with that sharp beak of his.
He's a big bird.
It's a huge bird. It's actually about 3,000 grams, 3 kilos. Think of like a big giant rooster that's relentlessly coming at you and biting you if you don't let him get to your head. And what happened is somebody accidentally dislocated his leg trying to get him to stop. So even though the video is hilarious, and I do encourage everybody to watch it because you'll fall in love with kakapo and hopefully get interested in kakapo conservation, it was a serious problem. And so I volunteered my services to go out there and help fix that particular behavior problem.
All right. And were you successful?
Yes. And we used a very interesting strategy.
What is that?
So what we taught him to do was, if we saw that he was in the mood for a little liaison, we would actually redirect him to a different behavior. So maybe standing on a stump, and we also taught him how to touch a chopstick with his beak. And when he would do that, we would actually offer him a shoe, and he learned to mate with the shoe instead.
Oh. With probably an equal amount of success.
Yeah, it actually worked out really well. He learned it pretty quickly, and he's a really good student. And the great thing is now if somebody's in that situation, because he will ambush people. He's just roaming around an island. So if he were to approach you and you were like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble, all you have to do is redirect him to the appropriate behavior and then hand him, in particular, he likes Croc shoes, so we give him a Croc shoe, and he takes off with that and has his way with it.
Wow. So the people I know who have parrots, they all say that they're a lot like little kids. They're obstinate, they're irrational, they're prone to temper tantrums. Is this true about all the parrots, including this one?
Well, in my opinion, the problem out there with parrots is that most people haven't received really good information on how to manage their behavior. So that's really one of the things that I do is I provide resources to help people learn how to fix behavior problems with parrots, how to live with them peacefully, how to teach them not to scream for attention, how to teach them not to bite you. You don't have to have a biting parrot or a screaming parrot. So all those resources are on my website if they need a little help.
All right. A little help. Now, what does FFAT stand for again?
Again, it stands for Barber's Force-Free Animal Training.
What does that mean, force-free animal training?
So one of the things that I really promote is a kind and gentle approach to animal training. So we don't have to dominate animals or make them obey. We actually teach them when they do what we ask, good things are going to happen, good consequences. So like maybe food treats or head scratches or a belly rub if it's your dog. And that way we actually get animals that are really eager participants to do exactly what we want. And we don't have to be the bad guy. We get to be the good guy.
But when you give the treats, are you changing their person? They're changing their habits, or are you just bribing them?
No, it's a great question. You know, people think that it's inappropriate to give an animal something for doing something really well. But I always think about, like, look at your own work. You may love your job, but if they stopped paying you, would you still go to work every day? Eventually, you're going to say, oh, this isn't worth it. So we make it worthwhile for the animal to do whatever we ask. It's really kind of a law of nature. It's just positive reinforcement. We all function based on these laws of nature, and we're just kind of harnessing that and using that to manage animal behavior in our homes.
But if I sat down at my desk and the boss left me, I don't know, a bowl of Snickers bars and pistachio nuts just to keep me busy and keep me occupied, maybe I wouldn't notice for a couple of months that he was docking me some pay. Is that what you're saying? Is that how you change behavior?
Well, in that case, you didn't really necessarily do anything to earn those treats. So what we try to do is pair it with a good behavior. So if you were maybe working diligently at your desk and every once in a while a Snickers came flying over and landed on your desk,
yeah,
that would be perfect.
Oh, yes. I might stand up on my hind legs for that.
You never know when a Snickers might appear for doing good work, so you just keep doing it. It's kind of like pulling the handle on a slot machine.
Yeah.
You never know when it's going to pay out, so you just keep doing that behavior until it does pay out.
Now, parrots are not the only exotic animals you deal with. There are others, and like what?
I work a lot with the zoo community, and in the zoo community, we train animals to cooperate in their medical care. So we've trained gorillas to open their mouth and let us brush their teeth, tigers to present their tails for blood draws, and giraffes will present a hoof, and we can trim their hooves for them, so they're good and healthy.
They trust you, huh?
That's what positive reinforcement does, builds a lot of trust.
All right, very good. The website is on our links page at philhewlettandfriends.com. It's barbarasfat.com. Exotic pet animal trainer, behavior expert, author, and lecturer, Barbara Heidenreich. That was nice to talk to, wasn't it? Wonder what she thinks of those guys that swim with the sharks.
Interesting. Her goal was just to give the parrot an outlet as opposed to, you know, maybe find it a mate or something. You know, like his behavior's not going to change, so just give him a place where he can do it somewhere else and not hurt people.
I can tell you that video is funny.
Oh, it's hilarious.
You need to watch it. Hey, we love your comments. We have an email address, feedback@philhewlettandfriends.com. On Twitter, we're at As We See It Show, facebook.com/Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark. Brooke Peterson is our producer, production assistant, Nick Wright. For Jennifer Bjorklund, Jay Campidonia, and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time when we call it As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.